Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, December 16th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 65, that first paragraph on our grudge list, through one paragraph ending had been interfered with, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Liz A., 12 Traditions, Leland P. Readers of the text, Ansley F., Sandy K., and Eileen M. The reference number for Sunday, December 15th, 2024 is 21,996. That's 21996. And for this morning, Monday, December 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,997. That's 21997. Our newcomer greeted this morning is Judith R., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Liz A. here. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Liz A. And I'll now ask Leland P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, Leland P., recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Leland P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 65, the first paragraph. On our grudge list, through one paragraph ending, has been interfered with. And we're commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Ansley F. to read and then share with us.
Hi, this is Ansley F. I'm a compulsive overeater in Michigan. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? That's it for this paragraph. But it, you know, it's talking about resentments, as mentioned in the previous paragraph. And I heard once a long time ago that resentment is impaired hurt, meaning like, and I've always thought of it as resentment is, a lot of times I think of it as anger because it feels like anger, and it does kind of become that, but it's like this harbored anger. And when I'm resentful, if I dig underneath it, when I write out these columns, a lot of times I realize that I'm actually hurt. But I think when it hurts too bad to feel the hurt, then I start feeling angry, and that's where resentment gets me. There's a lot in the Big Book that, you know, kind of talks about, sometimes sort of implies that anger is a bad thing. And, you know, I know we know now that it's okay to feel one's anger and that we need to feel that so we don't stuff it, but it's how we deal with it that makes the difference. And when I realize that resentment is actually hurt that I'm not willing to feel, then I need to write it down. And I was just talking with my sponsor this morning about something that happened recently, that I'm feeling very hurt and sad and angry. And in these columns, I'm putting a list of, you know, I'm resentful at so-and-so, and we'll get more to the columns later, but we put next to the name what, you know, how we were hurt, what our injury was, and then what was it that was hurt? You know, was it my self-esteem? Was it my security? Was it my relationships? What did this hurt interfere with, and why does it feel like hurt? And that's what helps me get out of the type of anger and resentment that will lead me back to the food. And that's where I don't want to go. And I just want to say that I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me be of service. I just reached 6 months abstinence on December 1st and have never shared at this meeting before. And I purposely signed up for reading this month to help me stay abstinent through the month of December. So I really appreciate the opportunity, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Ainsley F., and we so appreciate you and your beautiful service. Thank you for getting us started today. I will now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We ask you to keep your share to the topic of this paragraph, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share in this paragraph?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Sonia
Deborah
H.
G.
Robin
F.
P. in Costa Rica.
And then I heard Sonia.
Nate.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
And Robin P.
Jordan L.
Okay, let's stop there.
Did you get Nick?
And then I heard a Nick. Nick M., I believe. All right. So I have.
Thank you.
Oh, Nick F. Very good. Okay, so I have, this is a fantastic lineup. I have Wendy B., Eileen M., Roz G., Deborah G., Sonia A., Robin P., Jordan L., Nick F. Did I miss anyone? Fantastic. Wendy B., your 3 minutes starts now. Thank you so much.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I just, you know, when I'm resentful, it's usually because I have given my power away. You know, I'm letting someone else control my attitude. And these third column items that I, you know, allowed to be affected are my self-esteem, you know, how I think about myself, my security, you know, either financial or emotional, my ambitions, you know, my goals and plans and things I want, my personal relationships, you know, my place or position in the herd, how others view me. And when I'm looking at, you know, the whys of my resentment, it's usually because I felt like, you know, I feel like someone's taken something away that was mine. And, you know, and when I look deeper, I have to acknowledge that, you know, I was believing a lie. And, you know, in a recent situation where my contact person for new client referrals didn't like something I did, you know, I unknowingly stepped on her toes, and now I'm on her bad caregiver list, you know, and I got resentful because I felt she took away my good reputation and my good standing in the private caregiver network. And, you know, but in looking at it, you know, the truth is, you know, how others view me, you know, really is none of my business and out of my control. And that, you know, everyone's entitled to their own perception of things. And I have no way to control it. You know, people's opinions are fickle and constantly changing. And the only one I really want to please, you know, with my actions is my higher power. You know, and I can't please everyone. You know, what pleases one person will displease another person. You know, so my takeaway is to just to do the next right thing and leave the outcome to God, you know, to apologize when I've made a mistake, you know, and accept the fact that, you know, some people are just so rigid that they can't tolerate mistakes, you know, and they need to distance themselves, and that's okay, you know. And so when one door closes, God opens another door, and he gave me a new contact person for referrals who's more understanding and tolerant. And, you know, my fear of financial loss wasn't a reality. You know, my self-esteem is still intact because I own the fact that, you know, I'm human and I will make mistakes and I'm okay. And I can still be okay even if someone else is disapproving. And, you know, and I'm competent and I'm good at my job and I can just be neutral around what anyone else thinks. And this program is just so helpful in working through these type of things. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Eileen M., it's your turn to share, followed by Roz G., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and I am recovered in New Hampshire, recovered compulsive eater. This is a great paragraph, and I was thinking, you know, as a recovered person, you know, I'm continuing to take inventory on a regular basis now. And, you know, the other day, I was writing out my inventory step, my 10th step. I was upset about something, and, you know, while I was examining this interaction, I was writing it out, and I realized that I had an expectation of this person that I was interacting with. And, you know, I was expecting a certain outcome, and it wasn't happening. So, you know, in other words, you know, my expectation wasn't matching reality. And, you know, it was so interesting. I kind of had this insight. I was reminded of a quote in the Big Book where it's in one of the personal stories that says, "My serenity is inversely proportional to my expectations." And I remembered that, and I was like, wow, that was really enlightening, because I remembered there's also this quote, too, that expectations are premeditated resentments. And I thought, oh, of course, you know. And it kind of makes me think that, you know, going into interactions with people in the future is to really ask myself, do I have an expectation of this person, place, or thing? You know, because if I do, you know, that's going to create a problem with my thinking. And, you know, expectations of other people always interferes with my personal relations with them. I don't know, I thought that was just such a cool insight, because this is kind of some of the things that cause my problem. You know, how I create my own problems is having expectations of people. I thought that was so cool. I guess that's all I want to share. Because I didn't even realize that I had expectations. It's just not something I really think about. But, you know, I don't really realize I had them until after the fact. But thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Roz G., it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G.
Okay, good morning. This is Roz G., and I am taking a dog walk, and I'm in a traffic zone, so you may hear some background noise. So it's my noise. And let's see. Okay, Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, Los Angeles, California. And, you know, no matter how many years I am in this program, I still have a short fuse sometimes. And meaning that, you know, people can piss me off in milliseconds. I think today I've improved a lot on how I react. A lot. And, you know, it could be somebody saying something to me and it'll hit me like right where the button is pushed. And it's for God to remove the button. God needs to remove that button. I have had grudges against my sister so long, since we were kids, and I'm 61 years old now. Since we were kids, she's always at the top of my grudge list. And I'm doing the steps. Oh, sorry for that. Okay. I'm doing the steps again. I'm on step four now. And I'm writing a grudge list. And I'm experiencing a psychic change with my sister and a few other situations in my life. And the conclusion is how would God have me treat his children? How would God have me treat his children? With kindness and love and patience. And when my button is pushed, I don't have to react. I can bow out and pause when I'm agitated and think about how God would have me to be it. And my pause could be a minute, or it could be a few days, or it could be a few weeks. But whenever that pause is, I want to be in where God is so that I don't have more amends to make. So I think as long as I have this human skin on, somebody, something, some situation, some principle, some personality will affect my pride, my ego, my pocketbook, my security, all of it. And it's up to me to use these steps, to live by these steps, to accept that I'm human, to make the amends that I need to make, and to move on. And with that, I pass. And I thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, followed by Sonia A.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much, Dawn, for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And thank you all for your shares 12-step in me today. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here today with us. And I was thinking about, I love all the shares and the buttons, and it's just so right on with me also. You know, I love it. We're all in this together tribe with having a lot of these things come up. And, you know, I love, you know, because when I'm hurt and angry and all that, I don't see the truth. I don't see the reality. I'm all caught up in my head with the stories and what's going on, what I think is going on. It's not even going on. And I don't see any of this until I take myself through this work. You know, I can just get into all kinds of stuff in my head. And, you know, and what drives it, that self-esteem, what drives it? I'm the best. I'm above. You know, that's what's driving all that stuff. So I need to look at that. And what is the fear next to that? You know, I'm not good enough, or nobody loves me, or, you know, something's going on there that's driving this whole thing. And then the security, where I need to have this way so I'll be okay. You know, I need to continue to manipulate and control and fix and do all these things so that I'll be okay. That security of being okay. And next to it, that fear of, excuse me, that fear of being loss of control, you know, or maybe looking bad or whatever that might be with that security. And then the ambitions, I want this to be this way, you know, because otherwise I'm going to still again have that loss of control. And then that, excuse me, the personal relations, they should be like this, how they should be. And sex relations, how they need to be and never are. You know, all these stories. And this is where I see the reality and the truth. Because nothing is happening out there. It's all happening with me. But this is how I get to get
time
looking at the stuff that I make up and take personally, expectations that were shared, victim martyr posture. There's just so many things that I can see the truth. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Sonia, it's your turn to share, followed by Robin P., and I believe your initial is A. but I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's Sonia for sure. Star one, Sonia. Okay, perhaps she had to step away.
Hi,
maybe we'll... there we
I'm
go.
Here. Sorry. It's Sonia H. from California.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Sonia. Go ahead and share with us, please. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your shares and also everyone for their service. And in reading this paragraph, you know, right in the paragraph before, it says that the where was I hurt or threatened? And I have realized that a lot of times my resentments are not about things that actually were of hurt to me. I was not nothing was interfered with. Nothing in my being was interfered with. But being in program, I have learned that sometimes I'm just waiting for the offense. I'm just waiting for someone to say something wrong. I'm just waiting for someone to attack my self-esteem or my ambition or something to go wrong with my relationship, because that's me. I'm just hyper-focused on other people's actions and behaviors. And it's not that they've actually done something to me, but that they may do it. And so I need to be on guard. And there have been certain relationships in my life that very personal relationships that they did not actually do anything, but because they could, and because I felt so strongly about them and wanted their approval so much, that there was always a resentment that they were not responding the way that I needed them to in order for me to feel secure. And I just love what was said is that before is like, the resentment is a hurt, but for me, it's a perceived hurt that I'm not willing to feel. I'm not willing to address my insecurities, my low self-esteem, and I wanted everyone to be the fix-it for me. I wanted them to give me my identity, my purpose, and through this program, that can be given only through my higher power now that I am learning that. But the good thing is being able to see when I make that list down and I go into the why was I angry, that it's all on me. And so that's the positive part that I get, because that means that there can be change in the future, that I don't have to be so sensitive. I don't have to be on guard and waiting for offense. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sonia H. from California. We are talking about page 65, that first paragraph, on our grudge list through one paragraph ending had been interfered with. So, Robin P., it's your turn to share, followed by Jordan L.
Thank you so much. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. You know, I'd start on Broadway when I was younger, and I mean, here in Costa Rica, I think someone's unmuted. If you just press star one, that'd be great. And so I put together, for the first time, I did a concert here, a Christmas concert and sing-along, and I produced it and sang in it this weekend on Friday and Saturday. It was sold out both times, and the audience loved it, and it was great here in Costa Rica in the jungle. And I worked with three other women and that I chose. And wow, the ego stuff that kept happening. And wow, and I just kept going, this is so unreal. And I did so many, you know, reaching out, doing 10 steps. And, you know, I really get that all the resentments, I feel like, you're kidding me. You know, people doing last minute things that were just out of their own ego. And I just really got to really get to the bottom of it, that I'm so powerless over people's behavior, and I get to have better boundaries and not worry that, oh, I just want everyone to get along, you know, like, no. And act like I was the director and the producer. I was supposed to, you know, have better boundaries and just curtail some of the stuff that was going on. So, you know, and also it's a live and learn. And when I go through things like this, and resentment's the number one offender, I cannot afford resentment. So I just get to keep looking at, well, how, if I'm resentful, how am I being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful? Like, what's my part of it? And then bless them with every good thing I want for myself, and bless them, change me. It literally, I cannot afford to resent them, and I cannot afford to fear their behavior. And it's pride too, you know, like, what will people think of me, you know, if this person's acting like this, you know? And it's not even about me. It's just really giving it all to God, remembering that all that matters is that I'm of service to God and my fellows, and being the best human being I can be, and being abstinent and recovering in my other programs, and just showing up the best version of myself that I can be, and not taking on other people's behavior, something I'm supposed to have responsibility for. So I just learned so much once again. And I'm grateful that I showed up fully, and I did my best, and God and the holy angels are with me. I'm so grateful for people's prayers, and, you know, and it looked wonderful. So it's just that I had a lot of feelings about it. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Jordan L., it's your turn to share, followed by Nick F., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. and surprisingly grateful to read about inventory here. I guess what I'll say about inventory is that I didn't like it very much in the beginning. I didn't like it because it was, God, I think just because it was so different. But I had reached that breaking point where that first four step, I really saw how resentment dominated my thinking. Every single thought I had throughout the day, those repetitive thoughts that I was having over and over and over again, every single one of those was based in resentment. and it, I mean, it was literally like poison, you know? And when, I guess when I reached that point, I was like, okay, I guess the only thing to do would be to like learn a new way of thinking, right? Like that's what we're here for, a spiritual experience that's going to be sufficient to keep us abstinent, right? and that's kind of when I became open to inventory and to this process and to sort of unlearning this type of like resentful, repetitive thinking, you know, that's exactly what inventory is for. Kind of, you don't want to pick it apart too much, but you do want to start to understand how we got to this point, you know, because in the following steps, like we're going to ask God to remove all this stuff. so start to understand like what makes me tick, you know, how it is that these repetitive resentful thoughts I'm having all day are affecting my self-esteem, my security, my ambition, my personal relations, my sexual relations, you know, what it is that is why it is I'm walking through the world in the way that I'm walking through the world at this point in time. Because I'm going to be given a new way, you know, or I'm going to learn a new way or unlearn the old way, however it is that you want to phrase it, right? And I want to mention just one more time, too, that it was really, really important and helpful for me to write this in the way that it's written here, where I write column one first, all the way through the column, and then I write column two next, all the way through the column, and then I write column three next, all the way through the column.
time.
So thank you for letting me share, Dawn. That's it.
Oh, thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Nick F., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names.
It's Nick F. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Good morning, family. Nick F. in Tennessee. I recovered compulsive overeating. Sometimes I go to local meetings and I say, you know, sometimes I go to different meetings and I say, Nick F. in Tennessee. I just bust out laughing because I have to remember I don't have to say that same introduction every time. I'm so grateful. I call you guys family because I really feel like I'm learning to live for the first time in my life without the way I was killing myself with food. It really feel like I'm getting to see parts of myself that it was there, but I just ate over it. It was there, and I just, you know, did these other things all over it and on top of it. And now I get to stand with a chosen, not so much chosen, but God has put you guys, you ladies, in my life. You know, talk about this grudge list. I thank God for my sponsor today. You know, sometimes I get to get angry, and I don't even know why I'm angry. I don't have to always know. You see, I get to see what it feels to not know. I get to be curious like a child. These are some things, you know, my sponsor gonna tell me. I get to be curious. I get to look at it. I don't always have to act or respond. Like, that pause is so powerful and so serious for a feeler like me, because without all these different drugs and food and alcohol for me was nothing but liquid sugar, you know. On my grudge list, a lot of times is myself and God. Because for me, one thing that make me unhappy about myself is when I say yes, and all the time I wanted to say no. You know, in the back of the book, this girl talks about her performance, her inner pain from not living up to her own performance that she had for herself. And so today, like, two things I do not like to do. I don't like to say yes when I want to say no. And I don't like pretending I got an answer when I don't know the answer. Like, being recovered, being abstinent, being sober, I'm getting to make choices that I used to eat over all the time. And, like, God is just so good. Like, there are people. My sponsor took me through these steps through the big book. I had swore I'd never go through the steps again through the big book because I was getting sober, but food was my guide, you know? Just getting to learn life all over again. There was something else in the back of the book. A girl was talking about she was learning to be a mother. Felt like for the first time ever. You know, that's my story. This book is talking about my thinking. That's why I feel, you know, that it can address any addiction. And I be sometimes, I say, God, why you got me suffering and dealing with all of these other things and addictions? And God said, but look, Nick, it ain't no addiction that you done never brought to my feet that I ain't brought you out of. 6 years clean and sober, 3.5 years abstinent, nicotine free in October. I didn't even think about being nicotine free until I joined Vision and somebody was talking about being recovered and nicotine free. So with that, I pass. Thank y'all for letting me share. Thank you for your service, Dawn.
Oh, thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 65. That first paragraph starts with, on our grudge list, through one paragraph ending, had been interfered with. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I heard Sandy K.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. I have space for a couple more names.
Carrie N.
Carrie N.
Larry G.
Carrie N. and Larry G. Very good. All right, Sandy K., please go ahead and get us started. Sandy K., please go ahead and get us started.
Thank you. This is Sandy K. calling from Florida. The whole chapter, how it works, so important. And it's not just important to read, it's important that I did it a number of times. I remember when I was in program, I don't know how long, when I was in program, but I had a therapist, and he was in another 12-step fellowship. I never asked him which one, so I don't know, but he was in it for longer than I, and he was older than I am. And I said to him, and he told me he still goes to therapy. And I said, you still go to therapy? He goes, yeah, I'll never stop learning about myself. And then after, oh, I don't know, 38 years or so of being in program, I finally, finally gave up a resentment I had for probably 60 years. But it took me so long. Every year, my resentment would get lighter and lighter, but it never went away. And finally, I was blessed that my grudge went away, because it affected my self-esteem, my security, my ambition, my personal life, my career, my sex relations, everything. It was a thread that ran through my entire life. And then after I gave up that resentment, finally, after that, and God, I guess, has a sense of humor, I found out something, why a close family member did what he did. And he thought I knew why he said something to me. And I had no idea. And it was like I had already given up the resentment, but this was like God saying, I needed for you to give up resentment before I told you this key piece. And honestly, I go through life differently. I was fine before. I was abstinent. I looked good. Wasn't chopping Lane Bryan anymore. I didn't get angry very often anymore. Hurt that much. I didn't get really hurt anymore. But it was as if the heavens opened up and a rainbow shone through. So I guess what I'm saying is don't give up, because I did the fourth step and the 11th step and the 10th step on these two people for years, and it just really never went away. And when it finally did, I was ready to hear the truth as God would have me hear it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. Joan Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Carrie N. Star 1, Joan Marie.
Okay, there I'm talking away. This is Joan Marie, recovered in Nevada by the grace and power of God. Wow, thank you for all your shares. Thank you for your input. It's very important to hear all this. And, you know, it's a gateway, this fourth step, to total and absolute freedom from the bondage to food. Because it's about the food, but yet it's not about the food. It's about our thinking. It's about how we react to situations. It's about the hidden things that we don't want anybody to see. I think for me, the first time I did it, it was more or less, because we weren't doing the big book, it was more or less writing down every thought after prayer about what I'm not seeing about myself. And my sponsor at the time wrote out four or five things, but the number one that I remember was self-hatred, because I felt that if you really knew me, then you would hate me too. And because I always wanted to be what you thought I should be, so I never knew who I was. Today I know who I am, and I'm happy and gracious and gloriously happy and free from that. I just be myself. I have this little rock in my car that says, be yourself. So today I'm grateful that I have this obsession removed. I thank you, Lord, that I have a beautiful relationship with you, the conscious contact of you all through my day, awareness of your presence. Because without God, I can do nothing. With God, all things are possible. With that, I pass, and I thank you guys again.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Carrie N., it's your time to share, followed by Larry G.
Hi, this is Carrie N. from California, and I am a compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful to be on this phone call this morning. I just last night printed some forms that I'll be using to do a fourth step. And it's very helpful to hear what everybody says about what this process is. You know, what am I up to as I'm doing this process? I'm an ex. I made Reason my God. Reason has been my God my whole life. And so it's interesting for me to understand the reasons for all this. And but now I'm trying a new technique, which is I get a clear understanding of my disease, which my disease takes care of that and is very skilled at teaching me what it's like to be out of control with food. And yesterday I got to experience the mental blank spot about what my food plan is and how I proceed through my day. And I just drifted off. And so I'm clear on one. I'm, thank goodness, clear on two regarding a belief in a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity. And now the question is, what actions and when am I turning my will and my life over to the care of my higher power? And I'm just going to keep a new attitude and a new way I talk about that, because I got feedback from several people that I'm confused about what my higher power is. And I thought, no, actually, is it time?
No, you still have time.
And so actually I'm pretty clear about that part. And now what I want to be clear about today is taking the action that's needed. And I don't need to ask my reason whether it's good or not, because I get that as I'm doing this step, that this fourth step, I'm uncovering my human nature. And as I uncover my human nature, I'm also uncovering what a power greater than me's nature is, what is God nature. And so that balance and that combination is, I'm looking forward to experience today. Thank you so much. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Carrie Ann. And Larry G., I apologize, but we don't have time, but please come back tomorrow. We would love to hear you share. And I might have missed another voice after Larry G., and if I did, I certainly apologize. And again, please come back tomorrow. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sandy K. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation that you can do each day for the what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will continue, will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you would understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Do freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until